Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a really foundational piece of South African law, the Housing Act 107 of 1997. It actually came into effect April 1st, 1998. Our mission really is to get a handle on what this act aimed to do, its core ideas, and maybe some of the, challenges baked into its structure.
Absolutely. And you can't talk about this act without starting really at its constitutional roots. The preamble itself points straight back to Section 26 of the Constitution.
Which is the right to adequate housing, isn't it?
Exactly. The right everyone has to access adequate housing. But critically, it frames the state's job as achieving the progressive realization of this right.
Progressive realization. Okay, that sounds a bit academic. What does that actually mean on the ground for you listening?
Well, it means the government doesn't have to provide a house for everyone overnight. That's impossible. Instead, it has to show it's constantly working towards that goal. Measurable steps, continuous improvement. It forces action. And to make that happen, the Act sets out some general principles. These aren't suggestions, they're rules for all levels of government.
And is there one principle that stands out? A main priority?
Oh, definitely. It's stated very clearly. National, provincial, and local government must, and it uses the word must, give priority to the needs of the poor when it comes to housing. And beyond just focusing on poverty, it also insists housing development has to be part of integrated planning.
So not just building houses anywhere, but thinking about schools, clinics, jobs, the whole picture.
Precisely. It's a complete shift from how things were done before 1994, integrated development planning. Plus, it has to be done transparently, accountably, equitably.
That integration point is fascinating because it's not just about services and buildings. There's a social dimension too, right? The Act talks about promoting racial, social, economic, and physical integration.
Exactly right. This is where you see the Act trying to be more than just a housing plan. It's about nation building. It explicitly pushes for reversing the old apartheid spatial planning, the segregation. And it says you have to actively look at the needs of marginalized groups, women, people with disabilities, using housing to actually bring communities together.
Okay, so that's the philosophy, the why. How does the Act actually structure the how, the government machinery? You mentioned three spheres.
Yeah, it sets up a clear hierarchy, almost like a chain of command for housing delivery: national, provincial, local.
So national government first. What's their job? The minister.
National government, led by the minister, sets the overall strategy. They determine national housing policy, set delivery targets, and crucially, they publish the National Housing Code. Think of this as the rule book.
Of the rule book. So it dictates how things are done everywhere else.
Pretty much. It's legally binding on the provinces and municipalities. It governs how the money flows, the standards, the programs.
Okay, national sets the rules, then provincial government, they're the managers.
You could say that. The provinces, through their housing MEC, that's the member of the Executive Council for Housing, have to promote and facilitate housing development within that national framework. They administer the national programs in their province, manage budgets, create multi-year housing plans, that sort of thing.
Right, and finally, local government, the municipalities. This is where it happens on the ground.
Exactly. They are the implementers. The Act gives them the duty to make sure people in their area get progressive access, there's that term again, to adequate housing. This means things like identifying suitable land, planning projects, and very importantly, ensuring basic services are there: water, sanitation, roads, electricity.
So delivery is decentralized to the local level, but it has to follow that strict national code.
Yes, and that's, potentially where some friction or coordination challenges can arise, balancing local needs with national directives.
Now, let's get into something really specific and quite debated, Section 10A, the rule about selling subsidized houses.
Ah, yes, the 8-year rule. This was added later as an amendment. It's a pretty strict condition. If you receive a house built with a state subsidy, you cannot voluntarily sell it or alienate it, basically. Get rid of it for 8 full years after you get ownership.
8 years. Wow, that's quite a long time if your circumstances change. What's the rationale?
It's primarily an anti-speculation measure to stop people getting a free or heavily subsidized house and then immediately selling it on the open market for a quick profit.
Okay, that makes sense. But what if someone genuinely needs to move, like for a job in another city or a family situation? Are they just stuck for 8 years?
No, there's a mechanism. If you have to sell within those 8 years, you're legally required to offer it back first
Back to whom?
To the relevant provincial housing department. And crucially, the idea is they'd buy it back at a price that doesn't allow for profit, essentially covering the initial subsidy value. It keeps the house within the affordable housing pool for those who need it, rather than letting it enter the speculative market too soon.
So, pulling it all together then, what's the big picture takeaway from this act?
Well, it fundamentally overhauled South Africa's housing landscape. It repealed dozens of old fragmented laws. It created a single national framework, centralized policymaking, but then clearly delegated doing the executive functions down through the provinces to the municipalities.
A unified foundation, really, for a massive national undertaking.
Absolutely essential for the post-apartheid context.
Which leads us to a final thought, something for you to chew on. We talked about the constitutional right being about progressive realization, a continuous journey, not an instant destination. So does that 8-year restriction on selling your subsidized home feel like a fair way to protect the system from abuse and keep houses affordable? Or does it feel like it unfairly limits the rights and economic freedom that usually come with owning a home? Something to consider.